On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to another edition of On the Radar. I'm your host, Sean Jordan Usip, alongside my colleague,
Ndafa Happy Juju.
And we'll be with you until 2:30, keeping you informed, engaged, and connected to the stories shaping our nation and the world. On the Radar is your go-to news and current affairs bulletin, bringing you the latest updates on politics, society, the economy, culture, and everything in between. We go beyond the headlines to explore the stories that matter most to everyday Namibians, asking the tough questions, celebrating local victories, and amplifying the voices that deserve to be heard. Oh, and don't forget, On the Radar is a space for you too. Share your views by calling us on 083-2888-401. Whether it's a comment, a question, or a shout out, we want to hear from you. Stay with us. This is On the Radar, the news, the people, the pulse of Namibia.
Now let's get
want
right.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Now let's get right into today's news. A major new global study has revealed a concerning link between alcohol consumption and pancreatic cancer, one of the deadliest forms of cancer. The research, led by the World Health Organization's Cancer Agency, found that even moderate drinking can significantly increase risk, with every extra drink per day raising the danger by 3%. The study of over 2.5 million people worldwide showed heavy drinkers face particularly higher risks. Men consuming 4 or more drinks daily have a 36% higher chance of developing pancreatic cancer. While beer and spirits showed clear risks, wine consumption didn't show the same strong connection. Health experts warn these findings are especially serious because pancreatic cancer is often detected too late for effective treatment. With pancreatic cancer cases on the rise globally, researchers are urging governments to strengthen public health warnings about alcohol risks. They emphasize that reducing drinking could save lives, as even small amounts of amounts appear to increase cancer danger. Now, earlier, my colleague Sean Jordan Wiseb sat down with paramedic Julian Ferris to tackle this developing story. Let's take a listen to their conversation.
Thank you for joining us, Mr. Fieres.
It's a pleasure.
All right. So, in your opinion, according to the study, how does alcohol potentially contribute to pancreatic cancer development?
So, how it leads to pancreatic cancer development is that alcohol in itself is a carcinogen.
Ah.
You know, and it leads to a lot of inflammation, especially within the pancreas. So when this inflammation, once we get inflammation in the pancreas, it leads to what we call pancreatitis.
Mm.
That in itself is a very, very painful, condition that, trust me, you don't want to have it. So what happens is that, once there's inflammation, it causes that there's a release of the pancreatic. But so what we have to do first is that we have to see what the pancreas does. So where it is, it's situated below and behind your stomach.
Okay.
And it's responsible, it's a gland, and it's responsible for two functions. Firstly, it releases digestive enzymes into your intestines, and then also it is also responsible for blood sugar regulation.
Mm.
It releases insulin and glucagon.
Mm.
So these are the hormones implicated in diabetes.
I see.
Okay.
I see.
And once how alcohol, firstly, alcohol on its own is a problem, and then it causes a lot of other health conditions. However, when it comes to the pancreas, it causes inflammation, and then with the release of digestive enzymes within the pancreas, these digestive enzymes basically start digesting the pancreas, and that's what we call pancreatitis. And this over a long term, any like long term sustained damage onto the organ itself, that's what produces chronic pancreatitis as well. And this in itself is a risk factor for the development of pancreatic cancer. So pancreatic cancer, it already has a very poor prognosis. By the time you get pancreatic cancer, it's already 80% of people that present with pancreatic cancer is already unresectable, which means you can't remove and you can't treat the patient adequately. And less than 3% of patients presenting with pancreatic cancer has a 5-year survival rate. So within 5 years, less than 3% of those people will be alive. There's also other things associated with pancreatic cancer. These are, for instance, cigarette smoking, which predisposes you to the development of pancreatic cancer. It has a increases your risk by 2 times already. There's also others such as industrial carcinogens, your diet, as well as having diabetes mellitus.
I already mentioned
that chronic pancreatitis already in itself is a risk factor. There are also genetic factors. So if you have any of your genetic genes that don't work properly, or such as your KRAS or your what we call the P16 gene, they already are not functional. You already predisposed. And then there are also familial cancer syndromes. It's basically a group of pancreatic cancers that predispose you to having pancreatic cancer.
Essentially, one of the main parts of the study is that they spoke mostly about heavy drinkers, but for someone who drinks occasionally, let's say 1 or 2 drinks per week, should they be concerned about this?
Well, no amount of alcohol is health before you. You know, it is something that a lot of people will roll their eyes to if I say, you know, alcohol in no amount is good for you. So 1 or 2 drinks, I'm not going to say it's okay, you know, because I'm someone that does health. I advocate for better health for everyone. So if I say 1 or 2 drinks, it's fine. Okay, yes, the risk is going to be less. However, the risk is still there. You know, and in the article, it says we have to obviously quantify how much alcohol. If you look at, it says 10%. There's a 10 grams per day. It increases to amounts to a 3% rise in risk. So how much, if you ask yourself, how much is 10 grams? You know, it's not put into perspective for the regular person.
Right.
So 10 grams equates to 1.25 units. And 1 unit of alcohol is 1 shot, basically a 25 milliliter of a 43% alcohol. So that is 1 unit. So this, what it's saying is 1 unit already, or 1 unit per day already, there's a 3% associated risk with developing pancreatic cancer.
The
article further states that if for females, 15 to 30 grams is 12%. You know, what the article also says, that the females are more likely to get it. And then males, 30 to 60 grams, 15%. And if you drink more than 60 grams of alcohol, which is about 8 shots of a 43%, there's a 36% increase in risk. So you can see that there's this increase. The more you drink, the more you predispose yourself to developing pancreatic cancer.
I see.
This is what the article is saying.
I see.
the article was done on 2.5 million people, and it spans across Asia, Australia, Europe, and North America. Mm. What I would have liked to see in this article is also people in Africa. The study was done in an African context, you know, because people on the other side of the world, they don't drink as much, or they don't drink the same type of alcohol.
Mm.
You know, so this is also based on the type of alcohol that you drink.
Right.
And locally, the quality. So your beer and spirits, your spirits are basically your vodkas, your whiskeys.
Right, right.
All of these high percentage alcohol.
Okay, I see.
So it would have been nice to see what the African context also looks like.
Right.
The study in the African context.
Mm.
But overall, you know, it's what I can say is that alcohol has its own, alcohol on its own is dangerous.
Mm.
It has shorter and long-term effects on the body, and one of those is pancreatic cancer. And the risk associated with it is that the more you drink, the more you predispose yourself towards it.
So if someone had been a moderate or heavy drinker in the past, what would some of the warning signs of pancreatic cancer be? And would reducing their alcohol intake now lower their risk for the disease?
Yes. If you stop now, you would automatically stop any further risk associated with the disease.
Mm.
Yes. So if you have been a long-term drinker and you start feeling you have starting to develop pain, especially on your stomach.
Right.
You start to see that you're starting to become yellow. You start vomiting blood, or you start feeling tired. You lose weight, or you start developing diabetes mellitus. This could also be a sign that you are starting to develop pancreatic cancer.
I see. I see.
Depending on the way the cancer is presented differently, because the structure of the pancreas is, it has a head and it has a tail. So if the pancreas cancer starts in the head, it presents differently. But the tail, it also presents different. But these are the important things that you have to look out for. It is pain that you also get obstructive, what we call obstructive jaundice, which means that there's a yellowing of the skin as well as the eyes.
Mm.
Yes, and then there's also obstruction of the intestine surrounding the pancreas.
I see. What other lifestyle changes can you advise, listeners to help mitigate pancreatic cancer risk?
Well, firstly, it is to stop alcohol intake of any sort, stop any cigarette smoking. Yes, if you are exposed to carcinogens, such as dyes, benzodiazepines, if you are working in a factory where these are, make sure that you are wearing the protective, personal protective, equipment. Control any, if you have diabetes, make sure that it is controlled. And, and live a healthy life, regular exercise, drink enough water.
I see.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Nice
decision. All right. This is On the New Radar News Bulletin. We're only at the beginning of our news, although we're currently taking a trip to the marketplace. We have a lot lined up for you, so coming your way. So don't step away.
Olium nangeshefa noahara kushivifa oma akuro yokupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuru olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konora hitatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konora hitatu natu, mbali o hitatu vatatu, nenola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Namibia's cattle industry continues to contribute more than just beef to the economy. In the first quarter of 2025 alone, over 24,000 cattle were slaughtered, producing not only meat but also valuable byproducts like animal hides. From these, over 281,000 kilograms of processed bovine wet blue hides were exported to markets in South Africa, Zimbabwe, the United Kingdom, and China. South Africa remains the biggest buyer, exporting more than 223,000 kilograms of Namibian hides during the period. Despite this export activity, the country still struggles to meet local demand for processed hides, importing nearly 166,000 kilograms of hides and skins during the same period. The domestic leather industry, made up of small and medium enterprises producing shoes, bags, and other goods, faces persistent challenges in accessing raw materials. These limitations have pushed leather goods into the luxury category for many Namibians, making local products unaffordable and inaccessible to a wider market. Central to addressing this gap is the long dormant Ondangwa tannery, which has remained closed since 2013 despite government investment exceeding 60 million Namibian dollars. The facility was envisioned as a hub for value addition, particularly for northern farmers who lack access to markets beyond the red line. While funds have been allocated over the years, critical upgrades such as electrical and mechanical work remain incomplete. Calls are growing for renewed private sector involvement to bring the tannery back to life and unlock the full economic potential of Namibia's leather industry. Now, let's make room for a commercial break, but we're back before you know it, so stay right there.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. Did you know that the Villager e-paper is out today, Friday's edition? Well, do grab your copy and read up on the following headlines. Langer Heinrich recorded highest production since reopening. A new study links alcohol to increased risk of pancreatic cancer. Equipment shortages hit Shanti Kongoro Green Scheme. Farmers Bay taxi sector slams outdated permit system. Remembrance of Namibia's and the world's first modern period genocide. From school dropout to graduate, How IOM helped me reclaim my dreams is according to Tulimo France and IOM alumni. Now catch up on all those headlines in today's e-paper, that is The Villager. So, and do subscribe to our WhatsApp channel, that is on 081-200-4144. And I repeat that, 081-200-4144 to receive social and economic news tri-weekly, that is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Free economic news right at your fingertip.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. A Standing Committee on Health, Social Welfare and Labour Affairs of the National Council released its report on the impact of the 2008-2009 Basic Income Grant Pilot Project that was conducted in the Ochivero Omitara area. Community members confirmed that poverty levels have significantly dropped as the income grant kicked off, citing that households could now afford groceries, cosmetics, as well as clothing items, the committee noted. The committee further added that an increase in economic activities was recorded as some beneficiaries took advantage of the opportunity to combine their income in order to start small-scale businesses such as brick making, selling of rice, baking of bread, dressmaking, and shoe repairs. The grant also came in handy as some residents began backyard gardens to supplement the drought relief food parcels and deliveries that take long to reach the beneficiaries. We're now going to engage on this alongside my colleague Sean Jordan Uisap. Sean, so interestingly, this project was actually a pilot project by the Standing Committee. That is the National Standing Committee on Health, Social Welfare and Labor Affairs. And it was a trial of giving $100 and big for those who advocate for big basic income grant. They are actually asking for a 500 Namibian dollar, that is every Namibian citizen to get 500 Namibian dollars. Now, since the Standing Committee says that this trial was successful, but now it was just a trial, it has come to a halt. They don't get that anymore. And although the study did reveal that the economic activities increased, since the pilot project has ended, those economic activities have ceased, and people have gone back to their poverty situation. Now, question comes in to say, if they are saying it's a success, now why is it not being implemented?
I think, first of all, we have to look at the fact that we need to look at how what the purpose of the study actually is, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it was a pilot study. So you can't necessarily blame the
Standing Committee.
Yeah, the Standing Committee for not being able to continue on, because at the end of the day, certain money is allocated for research and stuff like that. And that was probably part of the research budget. So in that regard, you can't really blame them. But as well, I do believe that when studies like these are done, they're done with future projects in mind.
Yeah.
So although the study has concluded and economic activity has concluded as well, hopefully it's with the promise that these findings that they used, that they got from the study, mm-hmm. will be able to inform them on how best to encourage economic activity within that specific region and mm-hmm. also in the country as a whole.
Yeah.
Now, speaking to the actual reason for the study, which is to find out if Namibians can receive a basic income grant,
mm-hmm.
That is a massive undertaking. And even though the study was successful, the specific one, it is very possible and plausible to think that the more, the bigger, the wider scale mm-hmm. studies that they're going to have to, that they're going to have to do in order to inform their research
mm-hmm.
will probably also have the same or similar effects with other communities out there. So then it begs the question, is the issue going to be alleviated with the income grant, or is there another way to stimulate actual long-term economic growth and activity in the communities?
Mm.
What I believe the research should be looking at is sustainable ways where the country can help citizens generate income, but in such a way that citizens can also therefore stand on their own and generate income.
Exactly. Because, continuously living on handouts.
Precisely.
As much as we do appreciate the help of the government.
Yes.
You know, you want something that will continuously sustain an income.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, just looking at Namibia's, budget, Minister of Finance and Public Enterprise, Erika Shafuda, earlier this year tabled the 2025-2026 financial year.
Mm.
And just a month later, we're hearing that government is set to borrow about 29 million, or is it, I'm not speaking under correction there, but it's set to borrow some money.
Mm.
And we're like, okay, you see. And so another question, I guess, comes in to say, can the government even afford to actually successfully and consistently give out basic income grants to every Namibian?
Exactly.
You know? Will they be? Because at the end of the day, of course, the government wouldn't want to start something that they can't. So the way you're going is something that I really appreciate, to say that perhaps they could start off by boosting and encouraging communities to do something that will lift up their economic activities. And even if it's at the beginning, give them a certain amount so that they can do this and do that, and then that will boost up economic activities. Maybe that's something they can look at.
Like an example that I always refer to in my own personal life is the Topnar community in the Irongo region, where their indigenous plant is the Nara plant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they make these different products, skin care, hair care, food, all of these things from this one plant, right?
Yeah.
And the government has helped with stimulating that growth. So they've been able to make some sort of income from that sort of thing. So maybe the government could look into more entrepreneurial schemes, maybe that sort of thing, because how sustainable is it to constantly shell out money to citizens? How sustainable is it?
Mm-hmm. And will the citizens always use the money for economic activity, or will they generate it? Will they use it to generate more money?
Mm.
Just now, we listened to a conversation that you had with Dr. Julian
Ferris.
And he's, and you guys were talking about a new study speaks about alcohol linked to pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
And you know, we have a society where people tend to use the money given to them to go and buy alcohol instead of actually buying food.
Mm.
Even money intended for kids, even children, grant. Mm. So as you speak about that community, right?
Yeah.
And that Jesus, the Nara plant.
Yeah.
Plant. Another interesting thing is that the Prime Minister, Elian Guraya, and this takes us into another story, which I think it will only be fair to bring to the listeners this coming week. So he spoke about value addition. Namibia has to really add on value addition. And of course, it's a talks that we have had for a long time. But one question that really comes to my mind, now that you spoke about the government helping that community, can businesses and entrepreneurs do value addition to what they have without the support of private or public sectors? Because
and,
some of this
and
things,
also without sending raw materials to other countries worldwide, yes.
Yeah. Like, for instance, if I do, I might have the desire to actually add value addition, but that's going to require some equipment. You know, there's certain infrastructures that are going to be needed that I can afford at this point. So I think the questions now that are lingering in my mind is to say, how does the government intend on meeting entrepreneurs and business people halfway?
I think it's also why entities like the Development Bank is so important, because they do support SME owners. It's especially SME businesses when it comes to this sort of thing. Because, for example, like, I know that they've helped companies like Blue Crane, Safaris out with extra help during COVID. They've helped Mahangu Pasta, the Mahangu Pasta lady, with her
Elizabeth with her
business. And these are the sort of initiatives that I think we're thinking of when it comes to value addition.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be this massive 500-foot factory but like, there are ways to make money and there are ways to add value to the products that we do produce, because Namibia is known for some insanely quality raw materials, and it's important that we now invest the money back in ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it's insane that if I want to buy a ring for my partner,
mm-hmm.
The diamond can be from here, but it's cut somewhere in Europe and then sold back to me at a premium. You see what I mean?
At a ridiculously high price.
Precisely, when we could just cut it here and sell it for cheaper to Namibians and for the premium elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. I do like how you brought up also the Mahango Pasta lady.
Yes.
And that on value addition. And another thing that actually comes to my mind at this point as we have this discussion is that I think entrepreneurs and business people, we often want to start big. That's the thing with this generation. You want to start off with a huge company already with the infrastructure that's needed and all that. But other people, they start small and people start noticing them, and that's how they get funded and then they stand up from the ground.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We'll take a short commercial break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more, so stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Audio mnangeshefa noahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enyamukuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono raheta tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa kono raheta tu natu, bali o heta tu vatatu, ne no la no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Kadatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Kadatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
To be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Henday at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. In other news, an exciting weekend of sports lies ahead of us. Here to give us the latest scoop on everything sports is our in-house sports analyst, Henday Walenga. Thank you for joining us on the radar.
Thank you for having me.
So what can we expect for the coming weekend?
Yes, a lot of our local some of our local sports are coming to a close soon. We have the Deb Marine Namibia Premiership this weekend.
Right.
Rounds 28 and 29. After that will be only one more round left. And so African Stars, who are currently in the lead in the table,
right,
have the opportunity to reclaim the title. Would be their third title in a row if they are to win both of their games this weekend. They face off against Okahandja United on Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Independence Stadium.
I see.
And then they face off against the Mighty Gunners. That will be in Ochivarongo at 3 o'clock on Sunday. So at around 5 o'clock, we will know if Africans, if they are to win both of their matches, we'll know if they able to retain their title. As I said, third title in a row, it would be for them. And then we also have, the Namibia Rugby Union Premiership semifinals taking place this weekend. You have FNB Kudus facing off against FNB Grootfontein, and then FNB Wanderers facing off against Chasco United. That will be Saturday afternoon at the Hage Geingob Stadium as well.
I see.
And then, we have the Netball Namibia Premiership, or the MTC Netball Namibia Premiership kicking off this weekend. That'll be at the Comasdale Stadium. The defending champions there are NCS, that's the Namibia Correctional Service. So it's a exciting weekend of local team sports coming up this weekend.
I see.
Yes.
Do you think that the African Stars can retain their title?
Yeah, I honestly think so. I don't see them having too much trouble this weekend. I mean, even if they collect, let's say, 4 points, I'm confident that they would win again the following weekend. So unless something really surprising happens in the next few days, they should retain their title.
I see.
Yeah.
We also saw Chelsea win the UEFA Conference League earlier.
Yes.
Against Real Betis. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that was the, I guess one could say, third UEFA competition that Chelsea won. They went behind at first, but came back to beat the Spanish side, Real Betis. So, yeah, Chelsea will be in the Champions League next year. And after them winning that, they're the first team, English team, to win all available UEFA trophies that they've played in. So they made some history in that sense. But yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of European competition,
mm-hmm.
The Champions League final between Inter Milan and PSG is coming up. Who do you think will win?
Who I think will win and who
is projected to win.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it should be a good game regardless, but I'm projecting PSG to win that one just because of how they've performed throughout the season, throughout the competition in particular.
Really?
But I'll be a neutral in that fixture, so I think for the neutral it'll be a good game regardless.
It's crazy because we've seen a lot of opinion online about Inter Milan's defense and how good they are at keeping teams out. So do you think that PSG will struggle with that insurmountable defense?
Yeah, I mean, the Italians, they're known for their defensive play. So it won't be an easy match for PSG. I mean, finals are always usually end 1-0, 2-1, tight fixtures, might even go to penalties. But I think PSG's attack so far has been proven to be quite deadly. So I think they'll find the key to unlock that Italian defense.
Any predictions?
I'm going 2-1 PSG.
All right.
News
doesn't stop here. And we here at Eagle FM are here to keep you well in on the loop. But for now, we take a visit to the marketplace.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer.
To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. You are still tuned into On the Radar News Bulletin right here on Eagle FM. Now, in a dramatic policy reversal, Germany has dropped its long-standing ban on weapons export to Ukraine, a move that could significantly alter Europe's security landscape. The decision comes as Western intelligence warns of an imminent Russian offensive, with Ukrainian forces urgently needing anti-tank and anti-aircraft systems to defend their territory. Chancellor Olaf Scholz announced the shift after 2 weeks of mounting pressure from NATO allies, who criticized Berlin for previously blocking other nations from transferring German-made arms. The streets of Kyiv may soon see the first deliveries of German military hardware as early as this week, marking a historic break from Germany's post-World War II restraint on arms shipments to conflict zones. While officials emphasize this as strictly defensive weapons,
we take a trip to the marketplace. Stay tuned.
Onkundana ombwanawa kani hauto. Owa pumbwa oshimaliwa mendelelo. Ndele ouna oshendiso. Ouna anilonga ya pumbwa okufutwa. Ashike mboka ina onjozoe otaende kashona. Ngele onkalamwenyo otainyengana. Otokesh oteiningi ompu. Tu etela ohauto oye, etopewa e presendo wa mirongo wale natano, dongushu yoshe endito shoe, mure ashike, uwe mtetilo mirongo, ne natano. Ino pumbwa oka payslip, nenge o statement ayombanga, ohauto yoye ashike. Mona omula, oshimbaliwa, etimbo weshi pumbwa.
Easy money!
Tudengera nena, ko, nora hamano yume, ne nora, hamano, heari hamano, ano, ko nora hamano yume ne nora hamano heari hamano o shipulera ko otokesh.
And we're back with that story. Now, while officials emphasize this as strictly defensive weapons, the Kremlin has already condemned the move as fueling the flames of war. Now, behind closed doors, European diplomats suggest this could be the turning point that finally unites NATO's response, even as last-ditch diplomatic efforts continue at the UN. Earlier, my colleague Sean Jordan Wiseb sat down with geopolitical analyst Franz Senengela to engage on this most urgent matter.
So, in your opinion, how might Germany's decision to allow Ukraine to use German weapons against targets in Russia affect global geopolitical stability? And are the potential knock-on effects for Namibia's trade and investment climate?
Yeah, no, the climate, you know, it seems to be very far from us, from, you know, the look of things. We think these things are very far from us, but they are not. Because the problem with the global economy and even the global stability itself is intertwined. Mm. So it might, there are potential spillovers that might be felt and potential economic shockwaves that might be felt even by small economies in the third world that are not participating in, you know, in this conflict. You know, especially the conflict that is involving, you know, major powers, whether be it militarily or, you know, economically. So let's say, for example, Germany allows Ukraine to target, you know, installations in Russia. And we have seen that the Ukrainians fire indiscriminately. So, and then, let's say Moscow is hit, for example. So what Russia will do, they will target both Ukraine and then Germany. So Germany's installations within Berlin itself will be viable targets. And what that does then is it sets up a stage of, you know, major escalation and graduation of the conflict to a higher level and never seen before. And every miscalculation can lead into serious, you know, consequences. Let's say Berlin is hit with whatever weapon, whether it is conventional or tactical nuclear, you know, missile is, has hit, Berlin. You are talking about NATO now, you know, coming in. And now there are two things involved. It could be that the Americans under Trump might not choose to be directly involved in this conflict. So the United States would look at their investments that they are trying to create right now. They are trying to create investment worth $10 trillion US dollar. That's a large investment.
Right.
They are doing it through peaceful means. So, and let's say the United States chooses not to be involved. Europe will be left alone to fight. And once Europe is at war, that means 50% of the global supply chain is affected already. And that now will cut into your pocket as a third, you know, country, citizen who is a consumer. Okay. Let's say nothing happens. Maybe Russia, the strike is minimal. And then Russia supplies weapons to the Houthis, for example, and intelligence.
Right.
They start to target US ships and other ships in the Red Sea. That creates global economic instability because this Gulf of Aden is the world's major trade route. And, you know, if shipping is threatened, the companies that are insuring the ships will put insurance at very high cost. And now all of you that are ordering stuff from wherever will be affected because that's a major route. Your shipping will be expensive. And then you come adding it with custom and excise at the gate, at the Namibian gates. And then you come and put your profits. So your business will be affected because nobody will buy your product because they will be very expensive then. And also it is going to be very costly for you to get stuff from abroad into Namibia because of that threat. So we are hanging on the thread, as far as what, you know, Europe and Russia and the rest of the big powers are, you know, are trying to do to each other.
Right. Right.
Yes.
All right. Given Namibia's trade relationships with both the European Union and China, could this escalation in the Russia-Ukraine conflict influence Namibia's export markets or foreign investor confidence?
To a certain extent, depending on how big the escalation is. Yeah, depending on how big the escalation is. Right now, we are not seeing it as much as big as we can say. But any miscalculation from Europe, and in fact, Europe itself is also fighting China in one way or the other. So, Namibia will be at the mercy of what is in the medulla oblongata of people in Europe and in Russia and in China. That is what Namibia will be at the mercy of. So at current, we will really have minimal currency in terms of words to explain how much of a threat this is. But any miscalculation can lead into major escalation that will set the whole global stage into chaos.
Earlier you mentioned the issue with the supply chain being disrupted due to the conflict. So would the prolonged or intensified conflict in Eastern Europe disrupt global supply chains, particularly for Namibian businesses? And can you just give a bit more context and insight into how that could happen?
Look, the world is not isolated. The world is intertwined. You remember very well that there was a problem into grain. There was a grain shortage immediately after the start of the Ukraine-Russia war.
Yes.
Because Ukraine was one of the, you know, main suppliers of grain. And the Russians blocked the Black Sea, and Ukraine couldn't export its wheat. And that was a cry for many countries, to the point that Russia itself, which is also a major, you know, grain supplier,
I see,
sent free grain to certain countries, you know, in Africa. So if that continues, depending on how, of course, what, depending on as to where, to what level this conflict continues, you'll have your wheat and sunflower very expensive. Yeah. So and that's a fact, because you don't have internal supply that is enough to cater for your people,
right?
Because of the previous you know, drought that was persistent. We couldn't produce in much in SADC. And we needed to buy grain from elsewhere. And those countries which are main suppliers of grain are the ones that are involved in the conflict right now.
Right.
And in fact, as we speak now, most of the grain producing regions of Ukraine are now captured by Russia. So, because those are eastern, you know, eastern regions. So Russia is now capturing a lot of those places. So now Ukraine, if Ukraine ceases to exist, of course, Russia might take over the supply, but depending on what culminates as the aftermath of that, will now determine whether we will receive grain easily or it is going to increase. So if that's how intertwined this issue is.
I see. So Germany is usually seen as a major player in international aid and development financing. Could their increased defense spending for Ukraine redirect funds away from development partnerships in countries like Namibia?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at, German economy is also not doing very well because of the war. Of the consequences of the sanctions that was put on Russia as a result of the war in Ukraine. Germany is not only a key player in international financial aid. Germany is Europe's industrial basket, so to say. So, but a lot of German companies have closed down, or either shifted to overseas because they've shifted overseas because of oil that is expensive in Germany. So it's very hard to maintain, industrial, activities. So, and that's much pain in German's economy. They don't want to admit that, but that's how it is.
Right.
And Europe is now plunging into chaos because of the sanctions that they have imposed on Russia, which are devastating European economies. And in the long run, they might shift priorities from assisting countries into, you know, trying to fight their own economic battles at home.
Right.
And this will affect most of the countries that are dependent on, you know, international aid.
Right. So Germany is a part of the NATO organization. As a member state, if Russia decides to attack Germany, the US and other NATO states have an obligation to help defend Germany. What would the repercussions of that be? Can you give us a quick play-by-play of how that would work, and how would Namibia be affected in that?
All right. So, if Germany authorizes Ukraine to target installations inside Russia and Russia responds by striking Germany back, that already is a stage set for World War III. So, and that's in fact the end of everything as we know it. There are no two ways about that one. Mm. So, because the Americans, if Germany is hit, because what the Russians will do will hit the Germans. And because the Russians are also aware of Article 105 of NATO, they will start targeting other NATO countries as well simultaneously. And that is going to leave the Americans with no choice but to respond. And if the Americans respond, the Chinese will also respond. And the North Koreans and so forth. So that becomes a war that it becomes chaos. It doesn't become a war anymore.
We interrupt this special news bulletin for a trip to the marketplace. Stay tuned.
Kids, no running. They grow up so fast.
Come here, guys. Who wants to watch their favorite show on GoTV?
Your family's favorite moments are made better with GoTV's shows. We've got loads of local, international, and kids' channels, and all the football you need from the comfort of your home.
You can also watch your favorite shows wherever you are with GoTV Stream. Stick with GoTV and let's go together. GoTV. Love it.
Welcome back.
Comes chaos because millions of people will be vaporized in minutes.
Right.
Because it will only take it will only take 15 minutes for a nuclear weapon, for a nuclear missile from Russia to hit one of the United States cities and vice versa. And it will take up to 5 minutes for Russia to annihilate Berlin, for example.
Mm.
And in fact, it will only take one torpedo to plunge France and Britain into chaos. So that becomes a problem because Namibia will not even know what has happened yet. We'll just come and know we are no longer able to use internet. We are no longer able to use any communication system. We'll be down. And that's when we will realize that something has happened and everything about our banking system will be completely wiped out.
Mm.
So our economy will end there. And in fact, our civilization as we know it will end there. So it's something that nobody must even play with, must not even imagine. It's a catastrophe that might come as a result of any insane miscalculation between Washington and Moscow, because right. These are the two weathers of the world.
So with global tensions rising, what should Namibian businesses and policymakers consider to protect the economy from external shocks resulting from this evolving conflict?
Well, first of all, our policymakers should understand that there are certain things that we need to localize. And we also need to understand that we need to set our priorities very well to support our local business people and give them every opportunities that they deserve and make the environment as conducive as we can, so that at least we start to build internalized systems, our own internalized economic system that is able to help us. But this is not a vaccine, because the global economy is intertwined. No one is really economically free that they are able to stand on their own completely. The Americans need everyone, and everyone needs Americans. So if anything happens to America, the whole world will feel also the consequences of that.
Right.
Whether it is good or bad. Just take an example of the 9/11, that the United States dollar went down and it affected everyone. So there is no one size fits all, but what we can say is that we need to start learning how to localize our economy and to make sure that we support internal, economic activities as we can.
Right.
So that at least we are able to go 1 or 2 days without the other person.
Mm.
We'll take a short commercial break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. Only on Eagle FM.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
And now for your economic indicators. Agricultural commodities with the top commodity losers are rubber at -2.53%, palm oil at -1.81%, and rice at -1.04%. Gains, however, were led by wheat at 0.81%. Foreign exchange updates next, with top currency losers being South Korean won at 0.61%, Norwegian krone at 0.58%, the Polish zloty at 0.56%, the euro at 0.39%, and the British pound at 0.17%. Gains are led by the dollar index at 0.33% and the Japanese yen at 0.12%. Metal commodities up next, with the top commodity losers being gold at 0.67% and iron ore CNY at 0.56%. Energy commodities with the top commodity losers being heating oil at -0.95%, whereas gains were led by natural gas EU Dutch TTF at 0.91%, crude Brent oil at 0.16%, and crude oil WTI at 0.13%. Greek jobless rate lowest since 2008. The seasonally adjusted unemployment rate in Greece fell by 8.4% in April 2025 from a downwardly revised 8.9% in the previous month. This marked the lowest reading since November 2008, as the number of unemployed individuals dropped by 26,900 from a month earlier to 391,300. Meanwhile, employment rose by 28,100 month on month to 4.31 million in April. Slovenian inflation rate eases to 3-month low. Slovenia's annual inflation rate slowed to 1.8% in May 2025 from 2.3% in the previous month. This marked the lowest reading since December 2024, as prices moderated for food and non-alcoholic beverages at 5.5% versus 5.9% in April, alcoholic beverages and tobacco at 2.9% versus 3.3%, clothing and footwear at 1.3% versus 4.2%. Additionally, costs declined further for both transport at -1.9% versus -0.1%, and housing and utilities at -2.1% versus -1.8% while prices slipped for communications at -0.5% versus 0.9%. We're taking a short break, but don't go anywhere and call in when we return with news beyond the borders.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back, and now to News Beyond the Borders. Kuruman Hospital's appalling state has been lamented.
Went viral on social media, but it's nothing new at Kuruman Hospital. In 2023, pregnant women were sleeping on the hospital floors and at some stage bathing in cold water. The facility is a lifeline for over 270,000 people residing in John Taolo Gaetsewe district. Those who fail to find help there after referrals from clinics are transferred to Kimberley's Tertiary Specialist Hospital, Robert Sobukwe. This mother of three, whose husband passed away in this hospital 2 weeks ago, believes his death was avoidable. Her husband, who was involved in a car crash, was treated firstly at the Robert Sobukwe Hospital, then transferred here where he died. The grieving widow says a lot needs to change at the hospital.
My experience with that hospital is that they don't care about patients. The treatment in that hospital is not good at all. If it was, my husband would still be alive.
Following the video that went viral, Health MEC Marupeng Lekwene met with the hospital management last week, but patients say not much has changed since that engagement.
I'm not satisfied about the state of this hospital. People come here and end up sleeping on the floor. Patients are not receiving the care that they deserve. The hospital is very dirty. I'm not pleased at all.
We are tired of their lies. People are suffering in Kuruman. People are dying. Doctors are leaving because they can't stay when they are not being supplied with medication. They are not even paid overtime. It's a mess.
The provincial health department says they are battling to keep up with the growing population of the district, fueled by mining activity.
With regards to the Kuruman casualty, it was an unfortunate situation at the time, simply because plans were already underway to upgrade the Kuruman Hospital Accidents and Emergency Unit in this current financial year. This is as a result of the growing population, especially through urbanization, and the facilities now inadequate in addressing the needs of our people.
The health department is always allocated the lion's share of the provincial budget. Their operational budget for 2024-2025 was 6.4 million rand. The department says it's committed to turning the situation around, particularly when it comes to staffing, medical equipment, maintenance, and cleanliness. Tebogo Msimanga, SABC News, Kuruman.
Elon Musk leaves Trump administration.
Well, it's all change at the top in Washington, with Elon Musk exiting the Trump administration. For the last 4 months, Musk has seemingly been President Donald Trump's right-hand man, becoming the man who wielded so much influence, and even a chainsaw, as he slashed government jobs. His time in Washington has been tumultuous and highly disruptive. He's overseen perhaps the largest and fastest government cost-cutting of any administration, purging the ranks of government employees, all in the name of trying to cut costs, reduce wastage, and streamline the federal government. He dismantled the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, the key agency for delivering much-needed aid to African nations, in the space of just a few days, and axed more than a quarter of a million government jobs. Although he never quite achieved his promised $2 trillion reduction of the federal government budget. Musk announced his departure on X, writing that he would like to thank President Trump for the opportunity to reduce wastage spending, adding the cost-cutting mission of the Department of Government Efficiency would only strengthen over time as it becomes a way of life throughout the government. The White House is now reportedly in the process of off-boarding Musk. His departure, though, is not unexpected. He's been working as a special government employee, meaning he's only allowed to work in the federal position for 130 days a year, and that's roughly the amount of time that he's been in his role since Donald Trump returned to the White House in January. The South African-born tech tycoon says he plans to spend more time focusing on his own businesses, and even acknowledged recently that he has perhaps neglected his Tesla and SpaceX enterprises. Nick Harper, SABC News, Washington.
Starlink faces South African licensing challenges.
And I think it's important to frame the question in the correct manner, because what's important here and the question that we are seeking to resolve through this policy directive is to ensure that there is consistent application of what is envisioned by the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act of 2013, which makes provision for two avenues for multinationals seeking to do business in South Africa. One of those is through the option of 30% local ownership, and the other option is through the vehicle of equity equivalent programs, because both were designed to be able to speak to the transformation goals of the country. So the policy.
We interrupt this news report for a special scheduled move to the marketplace. Stay tuned.
It's time for month-end magic at WB. Get a 1kg Jungle Oats for only $37.99. 2x 1.5kg Real Good Mixed Chicken for $149.99 with SmartBuy. 5kg Nice Rice for only $94.99 with SmartBuy. 2.2kg Surf Hand Washing Powder for $49.99. And a Huggies Dry Comfort Value Pack for only $154.99. See all our month-end specials at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
And now, back to the news story.
The directive seeks to reconcile the ownership regulations which were published and finalized by ICASA as the regulator in the sector in 2021. And we are seeking to harmonize that with the ICT sector codes, because the provision of equity equivalent programs is not a new addition to law. It is provided for by in the law, and it is an option that any company seeking to do business in South Africa has to satisfy those five requirements outlined in the provisions of the broad-based black economic empowerment around investing in job creation and infrastructure, investing in research and development, investing in doing business with local suppliers, and all of these are geared towards benefiting and uplifting historically disadvantaged people, as the law clearly states.
Okay, so just clarify for us. I mean, I know there are lots of terms of legalities here, obviously, that a lot of us don't understand. So what would happen if this changes for the benefit of Starlink, and what changes for South African businesses now, and how does it complicate things for us, especially if we talk about things like equity equivalence, when there could be legal challenges when that could arise from using things like equity equivalence for Starlink and then other operators in South Africa?
So let us, and it's important, and I keep making this point because this conversation gets contaminated by a reference to one particular.
In other news, Reserve Bank slashes interest rates by 25 basis.
South African consumers will have a little financial relief for the next few months. The Reserve Bank slashed interest rates by 25 basis points yesterday. Five of the six members were in favor of the cuts. One was hoping for a 50 basis point cut. Business reporter Ntokozo Khumalo has more on that story, as well as progress in the central bank's inflation target review.
A small but much welcomed relief for consumers. The South African Reserve Bank slashed interest rates by 25 basis points, with five members agreeing on the cut, while one wanted a 50 basis point cut. However, Deputy Governor Rashad Kassim says while it's hard to talk about a cycle of restrictions or easing, the SARB has hit a neutral zone.
The risks we faced, our aim was to be less restrictive. And I think we're now more or less at this neutral zone.
Governor Lesetša Ganyago added that the Reserve Bank has engaged extensively with National Treasury to review inflation targets that he says are too high and too wide. This is in a bid to build a long-term cap on high inflation and interest rates.
A lower target will bring structurally lower interest rates. If you get it. So it will lock in lower interest rates going forward. And South Africa would be a low inflation, low interest rate country.
Deputy Governor Chris Lowfald says progress being made by initiatives such as Operation Vulindlela is starting to yield some results to spur on the economic growth needed to create jobs sustainably.
We're confident that these sets of reforms are going to generate stronger growth. Having said that, we've seen some pretty bad GDP outcomes in recent quarters, and we would like to see much stronger private sector investment on the back of the OV reforms.
Nedbank's marketing and corporate affairs executive, Kentsani Nobanda, encourages consumers to make the most of the cut.
Start off with paying off your debt, because once you do that, I think you open up your income to much more things that give you flexibility, like investments and savings and all of that and stuff. So I would start there.
And consider some old school saving and investment methods as well.
Things like group savings, stock funds, things that potentially right now people maybe think are old school. I think, you know, women should continue to do that.
For Newsroom Africa on Channel 405, I'm Ntokozo Khumalo.
In other news, Zimbabwe farmers thrive despite stalled land grab compensation.
Different variety.
In the heart of Zimbabwe, a unique partnership is taking root. Fourth generation farmer Daniel Baja and newcomer Miriam Mupambawashe are working side by side, tending to paprika fields grown on a resettled neighbor's land. In 2000, 20 years after independence, when land reform began, the white minority owned most of the best farmland, which was then redistributed to the disenfranchised black majority.
At first, some of the white farmers were angry, but we managed to talk to each other in good faith and move forward. So I want to say the new land tenure policy by the government is very good for us because it will give us black people an identity.
Yeah. Miriam was one of thousands granted land during the land reform. Though she began with little experience, her farm now thrives with the help of neighbors like Baja, who provide machinery and technical advice.
They never let us down by saying, you grab the land, let's see if you can farm it. Instead, they brought their own tractors and equipment to come and help, which we felt was a nice gesture.
The land reform meant to correct colonial-era injustice displaced around 4,000 white farmers, many of whom are still waiting for government compensation. Baja, vice president of the Commercial Farmers Union, which represents mostly white farmers, says both sides have legitimate claims and responsibilities.
There's merit in both sides of the story. Those who invested into the farms and lost assets make sense for them to get value for those assets back. And those who took on the assets because of having fought for the freedom and independence of the country.
Both Miriam and Daniel are encouraged by another major government announcement granting land ownership rights to beneficiaries of the 2000s land reform. The tenure announced late last year replaces 99-year leases, with new tenure rights allowing resettled farmers to own and sell their land. Hope is returning to Zimbabwe's once troubled agricultural sector. For many, like Miriam and Daniel, the focus is less on the past and more on building a sustainable agricultural future together, one that demands commitment and boots on the ground. Sharon Baranga, CGTN.
In news from Zambia, mine waste pollution draws Finnish interest.
Following the contamination of the Kafue River on the Copper Belt in February 2025, the Zambia Institute of Environmental Health says several types of heavy metals were part of the contamination contents affecting human health, biodiversity, and the livelihoods of communities that rely on these rivers.
That catastrophe, it was beyond the mere acid. The heavy metals are some things that are very serious because our bodies do not have the capacity to completely eliminate the heavy metals.
This is EPSE, a company that specializes in treatment of industrial hazardous process and wastewater containing soluble metals. Located in Finland's second largest city of Tampere, the company's technology could just be the solution to Zambia's mining waste management and environmental concerns.
We have discussion with several parties in Zambia, government, ZEMA and the mining companies, how to organize this kind of zero reaction time program. It will give updated information for ZEMA and Zambian government, what are the circumstances in tailings areas, and especially what are the circumstances in water, and that there are no so-called ticking ponds in the tailing ponds.
EPSE, who has developed technology to remove 51 different heavy metals from wastewater. This EPSE chemical could also be applied in a polluted river. They were on site actually 2 weeks after the incident, so they've been working closely here, also with the authorities, so they met all the relevant authorities.
As Zambia targets to increase copper production to 3 million metric tons by 2031, technological innovations that promote sustainable mining should be at the core of economic growth. Mary Mukisa, ZMBC News, Finland.
In other news, the U.S. appeals court reinstates Trump tariff plans.
After less than a 24-hour pause, the Trump administration's sweeping tariff plan is back on, at least for now. The U.S. Court of Appeals is temporarily halting a U.S. trade court's decision on Wednesday evening that would have blocked most of Mr. Trump's tariffs as the administration appeals against it. Well, the Court of International Trade found that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when in April he used an emergency law to impose tariffs on nearly every country. Today, the White House sharply criticized the trade court, calling its ruling a judicial overreach. The Trump administration says that it's preparing to appeal the ruling all the way up to the Supreme Court. Here's our North America editor, Sarah Smith.
The opening bell marked a small celebration for U.S. stock markets this morning, with prices rising on the news that Donald Trump's trade tariffs may be illegal and might have to be struck down. The markets hate the idea of a global trade war.
My fellow Americans, this is Liberation Day.
The president has delighted in imposing trade tariffs on almost every country in the world. Claiming that he could use extraordinary emergency powers to do this without passing legislation because, he said, America was facing a national economic crisis.
They're ripping us off and they understood it.
But a court has ruled he does not have the authority to do this on his own. prompting outrage from the White House.
The courts should have no role here. There is a troubling and dangerous trend of unelected judges inserting themselves into the presidential decision-making process. America cannot function if President Trump, or any other president for that matter, has their sensitive diplomatic or trade negotiations railroaded by activist judges.
Donald Trump has raised tariffs on some countries sky high and then promptly dropped them again, leading some people to say he chickens out.
Mr. President, Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out.
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that nice? Chicken out. I've never heard that. You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set? Down to 100 and then down to another number.
Those numbers, the tariff rates charged on goods imported into America, keep going up and down, according, it seems, to Donald Trump's moods. If he doesn't have the authority to impose high import taxes, will that stop other countries from negotiating new trade deals? The court cases were brought by 12 US states and 5 businesses that argued the Trump tariffs were hurting American companies and consumers.
Tariffs are something that are not just out there in the ether, right? They are something that we all pay. They get passed down to us as consumers. They get passed down to small businesses, which impact us.
25% import taxes that America has imposed on cars, steel, and aluminium can remain unaffected by the court ruling. Cars made in Britain, though, will only be charged 10%, because the UK is the first and only country so far to have signed a new trade deal with America. A deal that looks less favourable if Donald Trump never had the authority to threaten higher tariff rates or force a trade negotiation in the first place. News that an appeals court has reinstated the president's tariff plan for now is being treated as a victory by the administration.
President Trump's case is ironclad, and the appeals court took almost no time at all. In fact, we're surprised it took till the end of the day for them to overturn this previous ruling.
The closing bell on Wall Street saw a market extremely uncertain about what will happen next with the Trump tariffs, who will ultimately win in court, and uncertainty is never good for business.
Well, Ambassador Michael Froman is the President of the Council on Foreign Relations and previously served in President Obama's administration as the U.S. Trade Representative, and he gave us his take on the past 24 hours.
Well, for right now, tariffs will continue to be paid. And by the way, the court ruling was about the tariffs that the president announced using the emergency powers. There are other tariffs in place on steel, aluminum, and autos that the court did not touch. So those are certainly in place, regardless of the appeal. And the others are in place pending the appeal. You know, the under the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the Congress has the right to set tariff rates. And then over the years has delegated that authority to the president and to the executive under certain conditions. If there's been unfair trade practices, if there's a national security issue. And in this case, the president used a different kind of authority, an emergency economic authority, which allows him to shortcut some of the procedures of those other delegations. So,
and with that, we have come to the conclusion on today's On the Radar News Bulletin. Stay tuned for Onkundana Dingi program with David Shumbe, which after then follows the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut to keep us company on our way back home. So don't miss it. And have yourself a wonderful day, only on Eagle FM.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Oulum nangeshefa noahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuru olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konora hitatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konora hitatu natu, mbali o hitatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM. The Eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM.